this.
Are you going to do one or do you want me to start?
And now, Indy's answer to Brooks and Dunn, it's Bram and Cannon on the MOR Underground Subcast. Take it away, guys.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you, sir. Beautiful intro. Reminds me of something.
All I had on the top of my head from... For those of you that didn't join us at breakfast this morning, that in-joke brought to you by Best Bet. Indy's number one breakfast joint in Noblesville, south of 146, north of 141st, between Cumberland and 37.
And as my good friend Darren Snyder with his intro always. There. This is the MOR Underground Subcast. We're kicking things off with our first show, and we're going to bring in our good friend Mark Kelly from Manchester, UK, which is going to be a lot of fun. He's got a lot of great stories. We promise it's going to be worth the listen. We are going to kick this show off, though, today with a band that we like out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Started as Johnny Sacco back in the late 90s, mid-90s?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, okay. Late 80s, early 90s. And now some of the members are still together. They call themselves Coolidge. And this is a song called Get Up and Go.
No, the song is called Go Time.
Oh.
The lyric is get up and go.
I apologize.
The hook is go
Let
time.
Let me do that
the
one more time.
The song is red means stop, green means go.
Butter my cat.
That's right.
Song go type song thing.
Right. Someone just play the song.
Here, let me do it one more time.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll go get a beer while you introduce the track.
Well, you gotta crack it open.
Oh. Yeah, well, crack, I'll add the sound.
Crack it open and ripping a cigarette.
And sip it while I'm...
That's what I'm going... It's 9 a.m. and we're still drunk.
All right.
Thank you.
God.
So our first guest on our very first episode, we thought we'd work with someone we're kind of familiar with that we've done work with in the past. Dear buddy of mine for, what, 10 years now? Was that?
Yes.
Yeah, about, no, 2013, right? So seven, 8 years. Yeah. Mark Kelly, one of my favorite disc jockeys from over in England, now in Manchester at the time, Doncaster, but he's got a really good tale for us, I think.
Yeah. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How the devil are you?
Doing okay. Well, it's afternoon, it's over afternoon there. Yeah, it's good afternoon to you.
It's tea time to him, right?
How you doing?
Yes, I'm good. I'm doing very good under the current circumstances, but doing all right. We're getting there.
You guys are in full lockdown over there, right? Everything is shut down again, or has that eased up?
Yeah, we're in full lockdown over here. Basically, you can only travel if you have to go to work, or you're a key worker. I work at the hospital, etc., things like that. Or you can't work from home. Other than that, you can only go out for 1 hour exercise per day and just one visit to the supermarket per week. But other than that, you've got to stay in, and you can't have anybody around. No parties, no pubs are open at all. No restaurants are open. Only takeaway deliveries.
Are you sure you're not in prison?
There's basically everything is not in the shops. They're all closed down as well.
Jeez.
We're on lockdown. Yeah.
So you had nothing else to do except talk to us today.
Other than watching sports, I stayed up and watched the UFC this morning.
I know.
I'm a big fight fan with that, and obviously doing my own music and making music mixes and putting them out there for people to listen to. That's it.
Okay, let's go from there. You have an amazing history as a DJ working with Sign FM. Tell us a little bit about your history, how you got into radio, who you did work with. Give us a little background, because we'd love to get to what you're doing now, but let's give the listeners a little background.
Yeah, sure. It's always been an ambition of mine to work on radio. It was always an ambition of mine to work on radio. And ever since I left school at 16, I started doing mobile discos, built up a business for myself, had a number of DJs working for me. Ended up branching out, doing all kinds of different parties, weddings and birthday parties, etc. And did something like between 10 and 12 years of mobile discos. Decided that I'd had enough of that and wanted to work into clubs and pubs. And worked in a few clubs and abroad, went to Ibiza for a couple of years. Did the Ibiza scene, the holiday scene, working in different clubs over there. Came back from there and started doing some comparing, working in hotels again, doing some more mobile discos.
What's a mobile disco, real quick, just for those who don't know? Because I'm a little lost. I know Darren knows, but maybe some of us are not too cool to know what that is.
Definitely not.
What, the disco?
What is it in American terms? you're the DJ for hire, and you bring in the club music and the sound system.
Because I'm imagining an ice cream truck driving around, just playing the music they want to listen to.
A flatbed with the stage. Right. No, it's more like Chris Jordan when he did it with karaoke, but you could rent him out as a DJ. He'd come into your club, set up the lights and the dance floor, and play all the music.
Nice.
So yeah.
So basically, somebody rings you up and says, "Hey, we're having a party. It's my son or daughter's birthday party, or we're getting married and we're having the party at the hotel, the reception. That's where it's going to be. Can you provide the music for us?" So we would turn up with the speakers.
He's studio live indie.
Yeah. He's studio live indie. Okay.
Comes with all the drugs.
Provide all the music for everybody to dance to, and they'd make special requests for any particular music that they want to hear. So if it was an 80s night they wanted, or a 60s night, in actual fact, I can tell you a really it's a true story about one of the mobile discos that I did. And it was this gentleman who was celebrating his 70th birthday party, and
I'm already excited.
Older generation,
right?
And it's generally the norm that at the start of the night, you don't tend to hit them straight away with all the big tunes and try and get them dancing straight away. It's mainly like they'll come in, they'll have a little bit of a meet and greet, and all the family and every friends will arrive. Then they'll have some food. There's like a buffet, and they'll have some food. And then after the buffet is done, then we'll we crank it up and start playing the music. And the guy whose birthday it was, he'd requested Let's Twist Again by Chubby Checker. But ironically, the song was just being released again by Chubby Checker and the Fat Boys. It was like a revamped version.
I remember that.
Yeah, so it just come back into the charts. So the guy came up to me and said, when you're ready, can you start playing my song? And I said, yeah, not a problem at all. We'll do that for you right now. I announced the guy's name. I said, right, he's about to take the dance floor. He's going to, he wants to dance. Everybody get your cameras out, take some photos, etc. So I put this Chubby Checker song on, Let's Twist Again, and it's, here we go, come on, let's twist again. And this guy's up and he's rocking and rolling and people are clapping and cheering. He's up, down, throwing himself around all over the dance floor. And the next thing, I just see the guy, boom, just literally falls on the dance floor.
Just died.
So,
oh no.
He's looking and thinking, well, is he okay? Is he messing around?
It's the break.
Literally, there was no movement at all coming from this guy.
Ooh.
I clicked and thought, there's something not right here. Turned the music down. The people went over. Anyway, it turns out that the guy had a heart attack on the dance floor, and he died. Basically, he died on the dance floor.
He died doing what he loved, though. You should have just thrown on the fucking chicken dance.
And then at the time,
so then you don't. So then you're not allowed to do mobile disc anymore.
You guys killed that night.
Couldn't use killer music in his marketing anymore.
I was totally devastated. So of course, they'd already paid me as well. I'd already been paid.
Right.
So while the medics were there, doing what they had to do, I started to dismantle all my equipment.
Yeah, get the heck out of there.
Like, I do have a hearse out back, just in case.
It's one more service we offer.
Yeah. It's like murder for hire.
We got a cleanup crew, just in case.
I said to the woman, look, I said, I'm really, really sorry, what's happened. I said, but I can't accept this payment. And she said, no. She said, please don't blame yourself. It's not your fault. I said, I'm sorry, I just can't. And I gave her the money back. And I went home, and I was convinced that when I got home, I was going to get a knock on the door by the police.
Right.
They were going to come pounding on my door saying, you're the culprit that's played Chubby Checker, Let's Twist Again. You've killed this 70-year-old guy, And for weeks, obviously, because it had been re-released and it had gone back into the charts, it was really
you
popular.
You still had to keep hearing it. Yeah.
Function, people were coming up and saying, have you got Chubby Checker, Let's Twist Again? And I'm like, nope.
Nope.
Not playing that one. Can't do it.
We're 0-for-1, and so, we're keeping it that way.
Yeah, that's a true story. That's a true story. Yeah, true story.
That's brilliant. That's kind of like Murder for Hire. They paid him, and he killed somebody.
Yeah. Like, look, you didn't see nothing here. Just go home.
Wow, man.
So after that ended.
So that's it for this interview. I'm all depressed now.
So tell us about your history with Sign FM. That's actually where I got a chance to meet you, I think, at the tail end of that. With Simon. And that was it. It was just
It was Dean and Mark on Mondays introduced me to him.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But yeah, no. But that's.
I'd always wanted to get into radio, so I started because I was working in a club in Doncaster through a friend of mine who asked me to come and have a look. I'd sent off some different information, emails, demo tapes, etc.
Right.
To different radio stations, and basically didn't get any response from the majority of them.
Because you're the guy that killed somebody.
Some of them said, yeah, thanks very much, good touch, etc. Basically, didn't want to know. One of the ones that did get in contact with me was Sign FM, and ironically, it was basically around the corner from the club that I was working in Doncaster, which was great. So I went and had a meeting with them, and they liked what I, what I wanted to do and the ideas that I had, and ironically, the only spot that was available, there was two spots in actual fact, but one they just filled. One of them was the breakfast show, which Simon ended up doing because he was doing, and the other one was Drive Time. And I was just jumping for joy when they said that Drive Time was available.
Because most spots were hour-long shows. You and Simon were like the two that actually had a daily show on there, right?
Yes.
How long was that show?
Yeah, so the
four hours.
The breakfast show was Monday to Friday, and the Drive Time show was Monday to Friday. They had a Drive Time on a Saturday, but that was presented by a different presenter.
Right.
So they said to me, yep, you can have the drive time, but we wanted to make it two people. So we wanted to make it a male and a female presenter. Mm-hmm. So they put me with my co-presenter called Maddie Roberts. Mm-hmm. I'd never met her before, and we had a meeting. We got on like a house on fire. We bounced off ideas together.
Nice.
And from there, yeah, that was it. We did the drive time, and we were there 4 till 6 every day.
Yeah.
Just basically giving people information, having a bit of a laugh, doing very, very silly things live on air.
Right,
things that we could get away with,
yeah.
And people seem to like it and enjoy it and enjoy the music what we played.
How long were you with Sign FM?
All together, just over 7 years.
Okay,
all together.
Nice.
The best time of my life. It was probably one of the most fantastic community radio stations, because even though it was community, it was still broadcasting on internet, and it was also got its own FM frequency.
Right.
It was broadcasting alongside some of the national radio stations and right. beating them on figures. But the whole setup and the whole the bosses, absolutely fantastic. It's a fantastic radio station. The people that work there, the presenters that are still there, an amazing place. Probably some of the best days of my life working as a DJ there.
And Mark, I definitely want to ask about some stories about Sign FM, because I know there's a ton, and I'll let Darren do that here in a second. But my question is, we have regulations over here for anything that's on FM. Do you guys have similar regulations to be FM over there? I know internet radio is a little bit, at least it was for a while, a little bit. You had a little more flex. But did you guys have a lot of regulations? Like, you couldn't say swear words, or, you know, there were certain things you had to abide by?
Yes, because we were a community station and not a commercial station, there's completely two sets of different rules. A commercial station has to play adverts because it's the only way it survives. It means that it has to pay its presenters, because by getting the adverts in and playing adverts, that's how it pays for itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it survives. It also has to pay its license fee as well, which is very expensive. A community station, on the other hand, it's completely different. The presenters don't get paid. You have to do it free of charge. There's no fees, you know. So you do a show and you don't get paid for it. You do it because you love doing the radio show, basically, or you love to work in radio. Also, as well, you still have to abide by the Ofcom regulations, which means that you can't swear on air. You know, you can't say any swear words.
Gotcha.
You still have to abide by those rules. But also, because we're a community radio station, we have to have a percentage of input from the local area.
Okay.
So because NFM is based in Doncaster, we have to have a percentage of music that comes from Doncaster. So say 25-30% of the music that's played on the station has to come from Doncaster area. We have to do local events, etc., because it's broadcasting from Doncaster. So we have to provide information and music coming from the area, because that's what we're there to do. We're providing a service for that area.
Gotcha.
Yeah, technically that kind of is supposed to exist here, which I'm surprised no one's ever gone up to Q95 and said, you realize to have a license you have to have so many public service announcements and so much locally focused content.
Yeah.
Okay.
But all our stuff is pre-programmed out of Utah, and
right.
they get everything except for the guy that says the name of the track. It's all pre- and I always said you need to challenge that license someday and go, they've never once done a live traffic report. They get it phoned in from somebody, and I don't
right.
know where. And you go, so if there's an ice storm at one point, I listened to a recording from a week ago of a guy going, hey, it might be snowing tonight. And it's like, you recorded that last Sunday, and I just want to know if the roads are closed.
There's a
50% chance. Yeah. So there's an awful lot of radio stations that do get away with that, and you're absolutely correct, Darren, about that. There's also, as well, a lot of the commercial stations can't provide a 24-hour service, even though
right.
they try to provide a 24-hour service because they're a 24-hour radio station, but they can't have 24-hour presenters. So a lot of the stuff is, now that I've worked in the industry, I know when a live presenter is presenting a radio show live.
Yeah,
I
also know
when a live radio presenter is not presenting a radio show live, and it's recorded.
Right.
So a lot of the radio stations don't have live presenters. Something at Sign that we were very, very proud of is that I would say 70%, 75% of the output that we did on Sign FM was mm-hmm. live shows with a live presenter.
Right.
But obviously, because we were also a 24-hour radio station, there's no way that anybody's going to be working the early hours of the morning for a community station for free and do a radio show. So obviously, yes, we have to put out some pre-recorded
stuff.
Sadly,
for us, is, you know, the evenings, for me, dinner time on, they'd be all canned tape. But that was that's why I got into listening to UK community radio, because you guys in particular at Sign, I started listening to Dave Brock Buttered My Cat. And it was.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What
you would, Dave Brock? Dave, I'll give you the story. But I, I started listening to Sign because I thought Dave Brock really worked there. and I'm like, oh man, I want to see what he's up to. And it turns out to be these two guys that just really knew music better than me. Oh,
okay.
But we would get in, kind of like you and Simon and I. It was just they'd read my tweet on the air and they'd tweet back to me, and we'd have this. It's like, you can't do that in the U.S. A DJ will not stop and talk to a fan in the middle of a show. Which is what I loved about Sign FM in particular, and most UK community.
They do that in South Africa too. There's a metal show that I've been on. They call in people, but they also have a message board that they'll pull up and they'll like communicate with people. It's really cool.
What metal show is that?
It's Berg Studio, the one that I've been on. France the Planet one.
Very cool. Oh yeah, France the Planet.
Okay. But I guess that is the lead way into the story we want Mark to tell. Dean and Mark, that do the Dave Brock show on Monday nights, had said, "Hey, check out." We got our Simon and Mark, who I kind of knew about, but they're on at weird times. I can't listen to them live all the time. Simon, if I heard Simon on the radio, I knew it was time to leave the bar and go home because it's 2 in the morning. But they said,
those tears up and pull those panties down.
They emailed me that morning and said, "Hey, look, these two guys are trying to go for the world record. Can you like promote it and you know get some people to listen?"
Yeah.
So we did. I listened all day, and this was the greatest thing I'd heard. Two guys are going to be on the air for 72 hours straight, or 78, I think it was that time.
Yeah.
And then we hit on the idea where it. Wednesday night open mic, it's 10:30 our time, and I realize it's 4 in the morning to them, and there's nobody listening. So I'm like, we were making it a point just every 5 minutes go, "How you doing?" You know, so we kept them going at 4 in the morning for our. But they had their webcam up, so we put it on a tablet, and we put it on the stage while the guy was playing. We took it to the bathroom and took a picture of it sitting on the urinal. You know, whatever we could do just to send them something stupid to talk about.
Right.
They were busy eating clam ice cream at the time.
Ew.
Yeah.
What is that?
But yes, tell us about the impetus of the biggest show ever and then the biggest other show ever. And
yes, please.
Okay. Yeah, that was a strange thing. I was always looking for ideas on the show and how to just to be quirky, just to be different from any other radio station. It was another radio station, a national radio station that broadcast the whole length of the UK, and they were actually doing. Or going to attempt to do the longest radio show. I'd already got this idea, already wrote down. I'd already pre-warned my boss something that I wanted to do something. So anyway, I went to the office, sat down, I said, "Look, I've got this idea." I said, "I want to do the longest radio show. I want to go for a world record." And I explained everything to him, you know, what could be involved. And he basically sat behind his desk and said, "You're off your head. the logistics would be an absolute nightmare. The answer is no. There's just too much involved, you know." So it was a no. So I came out of the office with my tail between my legs, very upset, and went back to the studio, and then found out that the national radio station had attempted the longest radio show and went for 59 hours, and they broke the world record, and I was really upset. I was absolutely devastated with it. So a couple of days later, I was coming in to do the drive time show as usual. I was in the studio just getting prepped and ready, and my boss came in and he said, "You're serious about this, aren't you?" And I said, "Serious about what?" He said, "About what you talked to me the other day in the office." And I said, "Yes." He said, "The national radio station's just done the world record, haven't they?" So I said, "Yes, they have." He said, "Well, they've just done 59 hours." He said, and I watched some of it. He says, and he was, you know, he was worse for wear. He said, "So what are you wanting to do?" I said, "Well, there's no point beating a world record by a minimal amount. If you're going to beat a world record, you need to beat it by quite a bit." So I said, "They've done 59. Let's do 72. I just plucked this figure out of the air.
Whoops.
72 hours. That's 3.5 days. I went, "Yes." He went, "You are crazy." He said, "Okay. Come to my office tomorrow. We'll write down. We'll go through all the logistics and we'll get it sorted."
And then so my boss had a heart attack and died.
needed another presenter, and I, Simon was the ideal candidate, absolute ideal candidate, to have the breakfast show host and the drive time host going for a world record. So I persuaded Simon, he was all on board. We got everything sorted. We wrote to Guinness, Guinness World Record, and it nearly didn't happen. I swear to you, sat here right now, we were literally hours away. Everything was all done. We'd got all the witnesses in place, all the cameras in place, everything that we were going to play, everything that we were going to do, right. People that were coming out to the studio, guests that we were going to phone. Everything was set up completely, and we were literally hours from broadcasting, and Guinness contacted my boss at the radio station and said, no, you can't do it. Your paperwork's not in order.
What?
They'd literally gone through every single bit of paperwork that we sent off that we had to fill out and comply with all the rules and regulations, right. Medical forms, myself and Simon getting checked out by a doctor, having somebody on standby, etc. Yeah. The logistics were just crazy.
What wasn't in order? Do you remember?
Guinness were just nitpicking at certain little tiny things. So my boss being my boss said, we've come too far. We're not going to let this go now. So literally, he went through everything that Guinness wanted and literally within hours sent everything back to Guinness. They couldn't come back with us with anything and said, right, okay, you've got the go-ahead. You've got the green light to go.
Wow.
And away we went. And we started at 8 o'clock that morning, Monday morning, bank holiday. Yeah, but Easter weekend it was. Yeah, Easter weekend. We started at 8 o'clock. And as they say, the rest is history. We did it. We went for it. And it was the greatest achievement of my life. It was absolutely brilliant.
I assume like everything, you did that without a producer. You had to produce that yourselves the whole time.
Yeah, between myself and Simon, we did everything ourselves.
And you had to be up before you started at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So technically you were up for what, 74 hours? 74 and a half? Did you guys get a sleep?
They had some photo ops after they had to do too, I'm sure. I saw pictures of them in the t-shirts looking tired.
Did they just let you sleep at the studio afterwards?
I think it was for every hour that we completed, we could accumulate 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to take those. We could just accumulate those minutes. We weren't allowed to leave the studio, obviously, without going into a break of the 5 minutes that we'd accumulated. We couldn't play a song any longer than 6 minutes, I think it was.
Okay.
We also had to introduce the record and also back announce the record as well. And
you had to both talk within certain minutes of each other. You couldn't have one guy. That's why I said you needed a producer that could at least go, yeah. Mark, shut up. Simon's got to talk. Or I got your next record ready so you don't fumble around and take too long. You know, but they did it themselves, which was, and you had one witness. Usually one or two people were witnessing.
Two witnesses every 4 hours.
Every 4 hours.
Could you guys sleep while music was playing? Like if you picked a 6 minute song, could you get another 5 minute nap?
No, we were on camera 24/7. We accumulated so many 5 minute breaks within the hours, so that we were allowed to go outside and have a bit of fresh air and a drink and something to eat, etc.
But for only up to 30 minutes or something like that, so it wasn't even a good nap time when it came down to it.
I can honestly say, looking back on the first one that we did,
it gets better.
it was incredible. We learned an awful lot. I mean, Simon was the ideal candidate. I mean, he was just absolutely brilliant. We bounced off each other. Simon was probably, I would say, a lot more stronger towards the end than what I was, and he handled it a little bit better because we were advised by the doctors and the medical people that sleep deprivation is very, very serious.
Right.
And it can kill you.
Yeah.
So we had to take certain procedures. And there was a point during the 72 hours where I did vastly dip. And without Simon's help and the rest of the people that was on board, you know, my missus, all the members of the Sign FM team, without them, we would never have ever achieved what we did. It was incredible.
Did you guys ever find yourself kind of like dancing to keep yourself from like peeing in your seat when you didn't have like a bathroom break?
What were the tricks?
Yeah,
Mark?
Like what was the like, or did you guys just a catheter? And
we did all sorts of silly things in the studio. I think we played bingo. I think during one of the sessions, one of the nights, we did bingo. We did quizzes. We played our favorite songs.
Yeah.
We also had some of the Sign FM DJs as well, because what we wanted to try and do is try and play every single genre of music. So we invited, okay. we got the Sign FM presenters that worked at the station to say, hey, you know, it's our record. It's not just about us. It's the station record. It's about, you know, you guys as well. So we had them coming down playing music while we were doing the world record. It was incredible. Yeah. It was absolutely incredible.
That's amazing. Okay, and then that was the first.
Yes, so, that was the first.
So what was the point of the second? Was there a challenge to that?
The rush.
Again, I was so annoyed because there's a bit of a thing where England and Germany have this clash thing in football where Germany always seem to beat England and, you know, we always get beat by the Germans. So it was only a couple of days later after we'd achieved the world record and we were ecstatic over the moon. We'd raised a load of money for charity.
Nice.
A German radio station went for exactly the same thing and they broke our world record.
What did they call
it? Well, ironically, it was so annoying because we did 72 hours and they did 73. So they beat them by 1 hour.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself,
that's a dick move.
Why?
Yeah. Why would you even boys do that? Back in.
You know,
it's what he did. Right.
Why? I was just so annoyed. So the first person I went to see was Simon, and he just looked at me and he went, no. He went, forget it. And I said, you don't even know what I'm going to say. He went, I know exactly what you're going to say, and it's not happening. So, yeah, they can have the 73. We've done 72.
You get a plaque anyway.
So you had Guinness World War II against the Germans.
Oh, I imagine honestly. Mark going to Simon, and it's like Lethal Weapon, where Dan's like, I'm too old for this shit. That's what I picture in my head.
In a really strong Yorkshire accent.
Right.
You can imagine I was sulking for I was just even coming into the station every day. My boss was just looking at me and I came in one day and I just went up to the office. I knocked on the door. I opened the door and he went, get out of my office. I went, he said, no, get out of my office. He said, you're not going down this road again. Get out of my office. Don't come and see me again. Go and do your radio show. So I literally went from being up there at the top thinking that we'd achieved everything. We got the world record. I was happy for Doncaster. Did it for the station, did it for everybody else. It was great. You know, we were all happy. And just being there, and then a couple of days later, boom, it's like I've had the pedestal taken away. I've had the Oscar taken away from me. I thought, it's not happening. I can't let this go.
Right.
So I carried on, and I just kept nitpicking, and I kept nitpicking at Simon. And Simon's like, no, no, no. I said, Simon, come on. We need to do this. We need to get this back. So I think we were out one night and we'd had a couple of drinks and he said, right. So
that's usually when I talk to Darren about ideas. That's how this started.
I didn't remember this.
That's how this podcast started.
He just showed up today and said, you're ready to record. I'm like, what? Anyway.
So I said, he said, how serious are you? I said, you know how serious I am. And he said, okay. He said, well, Lady 73, he said, what are you talking? What figure do you have in mind? I said, 80. And he just looked at me vaguely and he went, really? And I went, yes, let's do 80. And he said, okay. He said, but let me make something clear. I said, okay. He said, we do 80. He said, that is it. He said, whatever happens after that, if somebody comes along and does 80.5, 80.16 of a second, he said, it's not happening again. I went, okay, no problem at all. So then we had to persuade the big bosses at the station, and luckily we did, and they rode with us again, and we went for it for the second time. The second time was a little bit easier because obviously we'd learned a lot from the first time.
For sure,
it still was very hard.
Did you have to file the paperwork again, or were they just exactly, kind of like, yeah, exactly. You guys have already done this once?
We knew what to do this time as regards to how to set everything up. So I mean, it was great. It was fantastic. And there's you know, the support from all over the world. I mean, obviously Darren and everybody over there, you know, right. Your side of the water. I mean, the support was honestly, we were inundated with people from around the world. We had Australia, in Europe.
That's amazing.
I think somebody mentioned that we were being played in a fast food chain restaurant in Australia somewhere. we got tweeted by some famous celebrities in Europe. So I think there were some people in America. It was just incredible. I can't begin to describe how it was. It was the best thing ever that That's we've cool. ever done. I mean, and without Simon and Sign FM and the bosses, it, you know, it would never have happened in a million years.
And did you achieve the 80 hours?
We did. Yes, we got the 80 hours. So we got the world record back. But obviously, as the years have gone on and since then, it has been broken.
It's over 100 now in India, last I checked. Yeah.
Jesus. At what point, though, do they cut that off medically?
Yeah. I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think that there is. I think it's a question of basically go until until you've had enough. You know,
taking, I mean, this is what you're taking adrenaline shots to the heart or yeah. something.
They're
I
just
don't
doing
know.
Cocaine every day.
Probably.
We've got this.
You never know. I mean, obviously, we had to be checked out. We had to sign a waiver. We had to sign a waiver. So yeah. I mean, seriously, if anything happened to us on air. And then the station could be all responsible.
For sure, I think YouTube has the highlight reel of the show.
If I remember correctly,
there's about an hour edit of some of the better
moments. We'll find that link, and when we post this episode, we'll make sure to post that link too, so people can check that out. So.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what he's doing now.
Well, before we do that, one more thing. I do want to know, what is one, and Darren brought this up earlier, which I thought was brilliant. What is one of the most offensive things you've done on the air?
He's not the offensive one of the two.
Well, let's see what he says. Let's see what he says.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually. It was while I was working with my female co-presenter at the time when I was at Sign FM, and we hadn't been doing the show very long, and we always had to have a guest from the local community, somebody from government or an organization that was promoting something locally, etc., which was never a problem. We'd get them on air, we'd give them 5-10 minutes, ask them a few questions about their organization, what they're doing, what they're promoting. It might be something this particular week where it's something's being promoted, and we'd give it a push on air, etc. But we had one particular guy who came to promote his community-based organization. And it was just the weirdest interview ever. I mean, literally, the guy came into the studio. We before we got him on air, we just said, like, you know, we're just going to ask you some very simple questions. It's basically two guys just having a conversation. You know, you don't have to be scared. We're not going to ask anything difficult or anything like that at all. And so we were ready to roll. We got the guy in there, and I introduced him and said, you know, here we have so-and-so, and he's here to talk about this today. I said, hi, so would you like to tell us a bit about your organization? And literally the guy was a one-word answer. It was yes, no,
I've been in those interviews before.
Yeah, so have I.
It was like pulling teeth. It was literally like pulling teeth. It was terrible. It was the worst interview that I could ever have done. And even my co-presenter was looking at me saying, why is this guy not giving you, you know, you're asking him for information, but he's just not responding.
Right.
So obviously in that respect, I just cut you into, I said, right, well, listen, thanks very much indeed. If anybody wants information, we'll put it up on our website, on the Sign FM website. Thanks very much indeed. So the guy got up, left the studio and went out. Unfortunately, as I was saying, thank you. You know, we'll put the information up on our website, and right now we're gonna play you this. I was playing a record, so as I played the record, the guy left the studio. I turned to my co-presenter and said, literally, "What a boring bastard he was."
My hot microphone, mic. Yeah,
yeah, and Maddie looked at me, and she just looked at me as if to say, microphone. And I went, oh God. And I pulled the microphone down, because the guy was just leaving the studio and into the green room. And in the green room, obviously, we have the speaker, so they can hear absolutely everything. So as he's gone out into the green room and shut the studio door, I've turned to my co-presenter as the record is playing, saying, well, he was a boring bastard, wasn't he? So the guy must have heard it. He didn't give any reaction to me, but he must have heard it. I could have had the... I just wish the ground had opened up and swallowed me up. But that was... Yeah, that was... awful moment.
All right, so to recap for those just now tuning into our podcast, you've killed somebody, you were in the Guinness Book of World Records
for killing someone,
and inappropriately bashed somebody who was running an organization to help others.
He wasn't,
all right. Mark Kelly, everybody.
It wasn't a church-based organization, at least, right? It wasn't like a reverend
or
a priest.
The guy was saving children or something.
He's teaching English to non-English speakers.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. God love you.
Good job, Mark.
All right, let's... So tell us about what's going on. Oh, go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
What?
I try my best. You know, I try to entertain people happy, you know, to the best of my ability.
Your best is better than most, so... tell us a little about what you're doing now. We do know that you're putting together some really cool one-hour music blocks that you've been releasing during the pandemic. But tell us kind of, you know, what's going on nowadays with you, and yeah.
Yeah, currently at the moment, I'm doing some what they call the music marathon. So basically, people are coming up with all sorts of ideas about doing live DJ sets and you know, broadcasting from home, etc. It's a little bit difficult because obviously, if you're doing something like that, broadcasting from home, there's all sorts of laws that you can do, what you can't do, etc. Broadcasting on social media is a big thing. Broadcasting on Facebook and things like that, they tend to mute a lot of the music. You can't really do that. Unless you've got a proper platform that you can work from, but a lot of people are doing podcasts, which is fantastic, and there's some great podcasts out there at the moment. You know, exactly what you guys are doing. So basically, I've just come up with the idea of doing a 60-minute mix from all different kinds of genres, music-wise. It's just non-stop, and it's just something that people can put something on while they're in the house, going jogging,
awesome,
in the car, etc. And they can just listen to, you know, 60 minutes of non-stop music, no chatter, no DJ saying, "Hi, and this is so-and-so from 102.6, and here's the weather."
He's good. You should do this, like,
you should
professionally.
Be on air, yeah.
there's none of that, and, you know, some of the DJs, I mean, I listen to a lot of radio stations.
Right.
And some of the DJs that are on are just literally up their own backsides. They really are. You know, they really do like to hear the sound of their own voice, you know, talking. I think the music plays, a song will play for 3.5 minutes.
Wait.
They'll play the song.
He's describing us on Saturday afternoon,
this
isn't
is
he?
Mean.
Because we'll go for 10 minutes, and then when the conversation's all, okay, we'll play music. I think that's kind of our point on Saturday afternoon.
Right, right. So the playlists, they what kind of music does it consist of? Are you doing everything from bigger artists to local artists that you enjoy? Are they all over the world? Like, tell us a little bit about the playlist. And tell people where they can find the playlist, too, please.
It's literally everything. I mean, I've got a massive back catalogue of music, obviously, from my DJ days. So it's literally everything. I mean, people send me... I mean, in actual fact, there was somebody that sent me some music the other day from Indianapolis.
Throw it away. Don't play it. It's probably horrible.
I'm trying to get the rest of the songs for him together.
It was probably my band.
If it's Global Plague, don't play it. It's horrible.
If it's a death metal band, don't play it.
So literally anything that I can incorporate into a 60-minute mix. And as I say, it's just basically stuff that people can listen to. Music's a language, isn't it? You know, you can come home sometimes and you can be in a total bad mood.
Right.
You can come home, crack the radio on, crack the music on, pour yourself a drink, sit yourself down, you've had a bad day at work, and that particular song that's playing or the music that's playing can lift you. It can take you to a place where, you know, where you normally are. It can take you anywhere in the world. You know what I mean? It's a language. Music speaks to you, and it puts people in different places. And that's the idea of the music marathons, basically. So it's music. It's not about DJs. It's not about advertising. It's not about adverts. It's music that people can listen to and place themselves at a certain place, because I'm sure that when you guys hear a song on the radio, you can always place yourself at a certain venue, a certain time, a certain area.
Around here, it was yesterday at the same time, listening to the same radio station, hearing the same song, in my case. But oh, Tom Petty, I heard that yesterday driving here home from work. Great, original.
I think you also asked me as well, Benjamin, about what I'm doing now. Unfortunately, there's over on this side of the water, there's nothing open, so there's no there's no venues open at the moment, so there's no music venues, there's no concerts, there's no pubs, there's no clubs, so basically
similar here.
Yeah, DJs having to come up with different ideas.
Yeah, but I mean, we still are very restricted. Yeah. We're, you know, we don't have live.
Nobody's
venues.
Doing live. Yeah, right. But yeah, we still got we got bars and
it's
pubs
it's area to area too. Like I know in some states, people are like, screw it, whatever. We're just going to have shows, Florida. And they are. Yeah, and then a lot of areas though are they're trying to be they're trying to be good and trying to follow the rules. But yeah, it's very I'd say restricted is what I would say right now. So.
We'll get there.
But Mark, hey, thank you so much for today. This is great. This was an amazing first interview, and it was a lot of fun to catch up with you. Darren, you want to say anything to Mark before he takes off?
Do every show with us, Mark. We'll just put you
up. Fly down every week.
Hey, I got a little tablet on a stand. We'll just put your face there, and you can be here every day.
Well,
fine.
My closing thought is when the pandemic's official, which it'll probably be here forever. But once we're able to like go out and about again and do like let's say festivals or go to shows, we bring Mr. Mobile Karaoke to the as our big. You know, welcome back, Bash.
That, the killing season.
The killing season.
I'm still planning. We've got to do, with those guys or with us, there's got to be something.
Something, yeah.
As soon as this quarantine is lifted, we need a festival.
We need a mobile disco.
We need another radiothon, or we need something. A welcome back.
Weavermore.
We'll do that.
2045.
No, one thing that the pandemic is over and travel restrictions.
We're going to figure it out.
I'm coming out there, guys.
We're going to figure it out.
I've got to go meet my boss in Derby at some point as soon as this is over with, too. So I mean, one of us will be with each other in the next year, I'm sure.
It's going to happen. Well, thank you so much, sir. We really do appreciate it. And take care of yourself. Hopefully that leg heals up. For those listening, he had an accident recently. It was prior to us bringing him on air. But hopefully you feel better real soon. And, we'll catch up real soon, too.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you,
talk to you. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah. Cheers, buddy.
Bye-bye. See you, buddy.
All right, that was Mark Kelly from Manchester. Now, he used to be in Doncaster. Correct. You can just move over there. We are going to wrap this up, and we'll be back next week with another podcast, and we're looking forward to that as well. Stay tuned to hear who's going to be on that show. We will be promoting it prior to my co-hosts and my good friends, Mr. Darren Snyder.
Hello.
And Mr. Bram Epstein.
Brother.
Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.